It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. A while back, we talked about women's growing role in major film and television projects. L'Oreal Broussard of Women in Film and Television Atlanta says films starring women often do well where it counts.
It always starts from the top down, and that means like at your big studios in Los Angeles and even the ones here in Atlanta. They're always thinking, of course, of the bottom line and the financials, but one thing that you've seen this year and the past 2 years, that just even with female leads and diverse female leads in films, those films have made the most money, you know, at the box office.
Girls Trip is no exception. It cost $19 million to make, and it's grossed more than $90 million since opening in theaters last month. Atlanta-based producer Will Packer produced that film, and he joined me in our studio last week.
Hey, Celeste, what's happening?
Not much. Well, let's talk about Girls Trip.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so proud of that movie. So cool. Such a good time.
You know,
like making it and seeing the release of it.
And I want, you know, I went to see the release of it, and audiences are loud.
They are.
When they see this movie.
They're having a good time.
Which kind of adds to the experience.
You go with the right audience. It's a party in the theater. You go to one of those theaters that serves drinks, and you get the ladies with the wine. They are having a ball. I love it. Mission accomplished.
You must get a ton of pitches and scripts given to you. How do you know a good script from a bad one?
You have to have a vision and a plan for the type of content you're looking for and that you want to make, and you have to stick to that. And, you know, I am fortunate that I'm in a position where I do get a lot of content. You know, very rarely do I meet somebody that doesn't have either. The thing about me is when I meet people, it's either they have an idea for a movie or they have an amazing kid. Like, that's all I get. Like, it's just, like, and I guess sometimes before the person starts talking, I'm like, okay, this one has got the cute kid. You know, I can just tell, or no, this has got the true story that they're going to pitch me. But that's what I get all the time. So the good thing about that is that I am exposed to a lot of different creative ideas, and some of them are really good. And for me, I have to think about, okay, what is the type of content that I want to make? I feel like I have a responsibility to do content well, and do content that does have certain imagery. And I also have an economic imperative to make content that is commercial. You try to get that sweet spot of commercial and critical acclaim, which we got with Girls Trip, which is awesome. And so, that's kind of my approach to, you know, kind of figuring out, wafting through, you know, all the pitches and ideas to find stuff that is a Will Packer project.
Well, let's hear a little bit of Girls Trip. This is just a clip from the trailer.
Girl, you know you got those friends. The ones that got your back, the ones that keep it real. We haven't hung in 5 years. We need a Girls Trip.
So an interesting thing is that when people are talking about this movie and previous successes that you've had.
Yes.
They're talking about how good you are at targeting a specific audience. And in this case, I assume they mean targeting a black female audience. Mm-hmm. Is that your goal? Because when I was at the theater, there was all kinds of people.
Everybody,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. That's when you really win. You know, I think more than ever, audiences are not segregating themselves, I think. And we as filmmakers have to be aware of that and make content accordingly. I have always tried to make content that felt inclusive, not exclusive, that even though it may be specific in the characters, it may have been made through a particular lens, it may thematically be specific to, you know, a particular culture, but feels universal. I try to make sure that I make projects that have universal themes and entry points. That's so important. So, Girls Trip, there are four black women in the leads of that movie, and they are behaving in the way that some black women behave. And they're doing it in a really natural, authentic, organic way, and we did a great job capturing that. Now, that doesn't mean that it's just for black women and that non-black women can't enjoy the film. And in fact, as you point out, they have been enjoying the film. That's the balance. As a filmmaker, you know, movies that have been starring white people have been made forever, and non-white people have been going to the movies, you know, partially because that's the only movies that were made for a long time, but also because, you know, they just accept majority culture and they enjoy it. And, you know, Will Ferrell and, you know, Amy Schumer are funny. So you go to those movies no matter whether you look like them or not. I think the same thing is now starting to be true about Regina Hall and Queen Latifah and Tiffany Haddish and Jada Pinkett Smith.
So let's hear from another one of your movies that people have probably heard of, and that's Straight Outta Compton. In this particular clip, the crew is getting, they're they've been patted down and they're being harassed by local police, and the manager's not happy about that.
Get out! Get on the ground! Now!
We're trying to check these bangers, make sure they're clean.
All right, I'm sorry. These are not bangers. These are artists.
What kind of artists?
Rappers. And they're working with me in the studio right now.
Well, see, rap is not an art. And I'm sorry, who are you?
I'm the manager.
These clients of yours, these rappers, they look like gang members.
You can't come down here and arrest people just because of what they look like. But that's police harassment.
So it's kind of this cliche in Hollywood, right, that somebody will say, well, I'm doing this cheesy bad movie because I want to be able to afford to do art. but then you look at something like Straight Outta Compton, where you seem to have this sense of where those two intersect.
Yeah.
So how far do you need to get into a script before you know you found it?
Well, you know what? I think that, you know, Straight Outta Compton was obviously a biopic, so it's a little bit of a different approach. And F. Gary Gray did an amazing job. That was, you know, the project he was born to direct. So with a biopic, you're trying to be true to the story, the people involved. You know, you're creating art around true events, which is a whole different challenge and requires a different skill set. But at the end of the day, if you're true to what the story is and it happens to be commercial, then you win. So you don't take license just to make it commercial when you're telling a true story, in my opinion.
There's some biopics that are really deadly dull and boring though, because they've stayed too true.
Yeah, and that's the balance. I mean, I would argue probably those biopics did not need to be told in that medium. You know, and not to say that they couldn't have been made exciting. I don't know. You know, we're not talking about a specific biopic, but there, every story that, you know, doesn't need to be told as a movie, as a feature film on theatrical screens. Like, there are some great stories out there that should just remain great stories. And you know, maybe somebody should write them down. They should remain as books. But, you know, it rarely do I meet somebody that doesn't think their story is a TV show or a movie. And the reality is that that's just not the case. You know, some all true life stories are not created equal. That's just the harsh reality of it. Very rarely do I hear, and they're interesting stories. I always get pitched like the first, you know, the first person to do this, the first person to do, and that's great. And I want like that to be something that, you know, my kids know. You know, and that they can learn about, and maybe that's something I can put out on a digital format or in other short form content. But it doesn't mean in today's environment that people will be willing to go and sit in a theater and watch that film.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Atlanta-based filmmaker Will Packer. His movie Girls Trip is showing in theaters nationwide. Let's talk about Kevin Hart.
Okay.
You were one of the first people to really recognize the potential there, and it's now... Again, a running joke at Kevin Hart getting pretty much every role that there is for the funny sidekick. So first, let's hear a little bit. This is from the movie Ride Along. Again, a huge success that you produced. Kevin Hart and Ice Cube catch up to the criminal at last that they've been chasing.
What you doing? Hey, how stupid are you to hide out in the same place we found you before, Jay?
Plain sight, classic tactic, man. You better tell me where that Serbian buy is going down, boy, or I'm gonna give you a classic tactic.
Ain't telling you nothing.
Or you going to jail with a bullet wound.
You think he playing with you? You think he got time for games? This man is crazy. If he pull a gun out, that means he's serious.
What makes Kevin Hart so good on film?
Kev is, he's a unique talent. You know, he has an ability to self-deprecate, to use what other people have perceived as a negative as a positive. You know, he's short, his diminutive stature works it for his advantage. He also has been around for a while, so he's honed his act. Like, you know, it's interesting, you know, when you said that I was one of the people to help bring him to prominence, that is a true statement, but he'd been around for a while. And when I was talking to people about Kevin Hart for Think Like a Man, you know, some of the pushback I got from other studios outside of Sony, where I eventually made it, was, yeah, we know Kevin Hart, you know, he's not a star. He's had movies, you know, he made Soul Plane and that tanked. He had a sitcom that failed. He's been around for a while. He should just be, you know, supporting actor. He's not a leading man. And now, of course, all those studios will pay big dollars to have him in their films. I think that all those years of working and grinding and grinding and being told, you know, he was, you know, to this, to that, not enough this, not enough that, he is used to his advantage. He has honed you know, his voice to the point where now it's being received in a big way, really around the world.
So another thing you're really well known for, and a lot of people have said about you, is how calm you are on the set, and also that you're very good at working with big egos.
Egos, yes. Welcome to Hollywood.
How do you do that? How do you work with an outsized ego?
You know, this is a very this is an industry that feeds those beasts. This is an industry that rewards bad behavior. It creates adversarial conditions often. That's what happens, you know. You got a lot of people that are yellers and screamers and big personalities, type A personalities, and I'm a type A personality. I'm very aggressive and I'm very confident. But I know how to be even keeled. I know how to approach things in a way so that I don't get too high or too low. You have to maintain that. My opinion, to be successful in this business, has worked very, very well for me. While everybody else is screaming and running around and yelling fire, I'm looking for the hose, you know what I mean, to put it out.
What about when there are some stories, though, and again, I will not mention any names, but there's stories of you having to intercede in arguments between, say, a director and a star.
Sure.
And then nobody wins that.
Well, I don't know that I agree, because, you know, when everybody wins, when the argument is settled and you're making the best movie possible. So that's what I have to do. I have to bridge the gap. I have to get them to see that you see left and he sees right. You see green, he sees orange. But at the end of the day, we're all trying to make the same movie.
So you have, for your entire career, I mean, it sounds to me like you launched in this career, even going back to the $20,000 Florida film.
Oh boy, yes, Chocolate City. That, at FAMU.
Yeah, Florida, you had A&M. This goal to create movies that African Americans could see themselves in,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Over all that period of time, we haven't seen a lot of give in Hollywood else, right? In other production companies, we've seen that the diversity of actors and directors and producers, there's not been a huge amount of progress there. Why, as the decades go by, does that not change?
Well, I think it has changed, but I think that what you're speaking to speaks to how far we had to go, right? So, in other words, it's like if we're running a race and you start off 10 miles ahead of me, and then we look back 5 years and you're 5 miles ahead of me, you're still way too far ahead of me. But it's because I had so far to catch up. So there's been progress, but there was such a dearth of you know, African-American filmmakers and storytellers, and really of color, minority
not
groups.
White male.
White males have run it for a very long time. And so, you know, power seeds nothing without demand. Well, audiences are demanding it now. They're demanding to see themselves on the screens. And Hollywood, at the end of the day, is a big old business. That's what it is. It looks like art. It looks like, you know, it's a creative community, and some of it is, but it's a big business. It's a big corporation that, just like every other corporation, has, you know, shareholders and economic mandates that they have to answer to. And so in order to make sure that you are building your Hollywood company and business the most efficient way, you have to have content that the world can consume, that this country can consume, and that all aspects of this country can consume. If you want to be successful, you got to appeal to a broad audience. And now a broad audience is not just white.
So before we go, let's talk about Black America.
Okay.
Because it's in the same
the
sort
TV
of...
The TV show, not as a
right,
whole.
Right, not Black the, America yeah, as an was, all African Americans
in the
United States.
I was going to try to speak for us all, but...
I mean, we are in Atlanta, but still. No, the TV show, which is... It takes place in it's an alternative timeline in which, after the Civil War, African Americans actually took over three states in
That's
the South.
Right. That's right.
That was part of reparations for all the literally centuries of slavery.
Correct.
So that is not getting a huge number of headlines. What's getting a lot of headlines is Confederate,
right,
the proposed TV series at HBO, right, in which the South wins the war.
Yes.
rather than forcing you to comment on Confederate. Mm-hmm. Can you explain why your series, Black America, is the right way to do this?
What I will say, because, you know, the implication is that here's what I will say, why I decided to do Black America and why that's content that I decided to be a part of and help bring to life, because I think that it's provocative, it's edgy, it is it's risky, but not in a way that offends a large group of people, because it revisits a very, very painful part of history that we are still dealing with in a way that continues to aggravate an existing wound. That's what I will say. So Black America, which, as you stated, imagines what if post-Civil War reparations were given to former slaves and they formed their own sovereign nation. And it's a contemporary look at what would happen if that had happened post-Civil War. What would that world and what would America as we know it look like today? To me, that's interesting content. It's challenging to do it right. You know, we've got to make sure that we do a good job with it. But it's the type of content that I, you know, I'm proud to be a part of and that I would want to see. And I think that I have a responsibility as a storyteller, regardless, you know, of my ethnicity, because that is still a sensitive area. I have a responsibility to do everything I can to make sure that I'm telling that story in an appropriate, responsible way.
Will Packer is an Atlanta-based filmmaker. His most recent film, Girls Trip, is showing in theaters nationwide.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
This was cool. On second thought, I guess I did have some second thoughts,
you did,
after
right?
all. I usually run with the first thoughts, but we got second thoughts today. This was fun. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.